Are you really buying a car online on AutoTrader right now?
Really?
At a playground?
Yeah, really. Look at these listings from dealers.
Wow, your search can really get that specific.
Really?
And you just put in your info and boom, car's in your budget.
Mom needs a second, honey.
You can really have it delivered?
Really? Or I can pick it up at the dealership.
Mom! One sec, sweetie.
Mommy's buying a car.
Mommy, look!
I think your kid is walking up the slide.
Kyle, again? Really?
Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really?
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
It's the Dort Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dort Podcast.
Brian Davis.
It's the Dort Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dort Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. Really, not just any episode of Hashtag Dork, because them Thrones boys are back. So pour yourself a nice glass of dragon water and sit back for this recap. You know what? I think we're going to stick with them Thrones boys, but I don't hate the idea of calling ourselves the Triarchy as well. I think that's pretty good, too.
I kind of like that. I'm kind of into it.
That's kind of awesome.
It's fucking
only
sick.
I get to captain the bitch fist.
The bitch fist. At first, I thought they called the lady bitch fist. I'm like, that's a tough name. And then I was like, oh, no, they mean the ship. I'm like, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Also, did she say she wanted to dine on his ears? Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's going to eat his ears.
Big ear eater. Neat.
That's right.
Yeah. That's cool. Hey, everybody has their thing.
Uh-huh. That's fine. You do what you want to do in this. And we're speaking of everybody has their thing, we are going to get into it here in season 3, episode 1. Of House of the Dragon. It was nearly 2 years since we last did this show, and we did episode recaps for that. You can go back in the archives and check it out. We also did, I think, the last couple seasons of Game of Thrones. We did A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So if you're new to this show, our catalog has a ton of Game of Thrones content that you can dig into. And because it's one episode recaps, it's all spoilers. So we're going to be talking all about Salt and Sea, Fire and Blood. It was like hour 20 minute episode that premiered on Sunday, and we got Davey and Shime here as well. Davey, let's start with you. What did you think of this episode?
You know, it's one of those episodes where, like, I was looking at the timer being like, this has got to be over soon, right? Like, so much happened in like 20 minutes. I'm like, all right, this episode's going to be wrapping up soon. I was like, no, there's like still 38 minutes left of this episode.
There's a lot.
And it just didn't stop. Like, they did a great recap at the start of the show, and then just hit the ground running. It just, like, it was a continuation of the recap, and it just didn't stop for like 50 minutes. It's nuts. Yeah.
Dove right in. Shime?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was a solid way to come back. It didn't, like, knock your socks off, I felt like, but it was really kind of solid. Good floor, if you will, and some sweet action, which we love. Sweet dragon action, which we love.
I think you're both downplaying it, because it did knock my socks off. It blew my nips
really?
Off.
Really?
That was my next question.
I thought this was a great episode. I think, and it's funny, because we talked about this at the time when season 2 was wrapping up, and I see people already in the chat are talking about this as well. This really should have been the finale for last season. Everything led up to this battle and sort of like what was going to go on with both sides and who they were teaming up with. It should have concluded with this, and I think we all would have liked the season more, but it didn't. The season kind of, we looked back on it, and we're like, you had that one awesome dragon fight episode. I think it was episode 4, right in the middle of the season, which was awesome. And then there was like a lot of lulls. I thought this was great. You had air, you had land, you had sea, you had battles everywhere. The first image of the episode is a dragon. Like, right off the rip, you get a dragon. You sadly lose a dragon, but you lose a major character. You get all kinds of great conflict. You get good fighting on land. Unbelievable sea battle, if you like sea battles. So I'll tell you what, I think it's an unbelievable start to the season. This was like a really good movie, is what I feel like I just watched.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. It feels, I don't know, maybe it's a me thing. It feels like they're trying to weave in a ton of different perspectives, and it's not quite as seamless as it was like when you were doing Game of Thrones, right? Like with Game of Thrones, there were a million different main characters that you were trying to follow along, but I felt like for the most part, they were able to keep episodes to certain people, and it wasn't so clunky. To me, this felt a little clunky. You're right. A lot of great sea battling, a lot of great sky battling. I loved all of that stuff. So the second half of the episode, far greater than the first half. But I felt like at times it was just a little clunky.
There's a lot of characters. I mean, we go from A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which is a very small thing, and we all love that show. And then now this feels like there's already a lot of characters. They add another character, maybe a couple. So it's like we are kind of growing the field here. I'll give you that. But no, I just felt like I was cocked and locked, and there wasn't a lot of time in between action, and you got to see a good amount of dragons. Like, that's what I want to see on the show is dragons, and we saw good dragons.
It's also like the showrunner like heard what we were saying, like took notes of what people really wanted. Like, fine, like we didn't get enough of this last season, let's put everything that we're just whole hog it, like right from the first. Fine, this is what you want, this is what you get.
We got it.
And he was right. This is what we want. This is what we expect every episode.
So basically, right? The season two, the way season two ended and what we were getting into in this season was, whether you choose to believe her or not, Allison went and met with Rhaenyra and wanted to be like, listen, this is a disaster. My life sucks right now. Why don't you show up? I'll make sure Aemon and Vhagar are out of here. You take over the city. And then Rhaenyra's like, well, it's got to be son for a son. So we got to like kill Aegon because he's the king, and then I'll take over. And you're like, all right, let's do that. But then obviously there's a lot of other things going on, and Aemond is in King's Landing, and Allison's like, wait a minute, that's not the plan. And so, and everyone's telling Rhaenyra like, that's, she's not really going to do that. And so like, that's really the crux of it. And like, everything else is sort of an offshoot of that, but they did pick right up where season two ended, and you get this conflict between, well, I mean, conflict slash maybe a resolution, right? Like, do you guys believe Allison and like everything that we've seen thus far? Like, that's what, it's obviously gonna be a lot more difficult, but is that what she wanted to do, was just sort of like give up power?
I think she wanted to keep, I think there's this whole thing that she's looking to keep her kids safe and looking to keep, you know, and not, and understanding that this position of being like sitting on the Iron Throne is not what people say it is, and it's not worth the price, right? And I thought it was so great that she had this great plan that with Rhaenyra, like they were gonna like like lay out this whole plan, and as soon as she gets home, it just goes to shit. And now she's gonna look like she lied, and like this sets up the whole, like, because there's no way to get word to Rhaenyra like at this point, because you know, the shit's already in motion. So it looks like she just like suckered her. And she, I honestly believe she wasn't trying to.
No, I'm with you, Davey. Like, I think she was telling the truth 100%. Otherwise, she would have filled Aemond in on exactly what she was doing. Same. And then they're like, oh, yeah, now we set the trap for her. So when she comes here, we just kill them all.
So, like, the whole mother and son thing. So obviously, Rhaenyra lost a son in a previous season. And so now she wants to go son for son. So a lot of it has to do with Rhaenyra and Jace, and then also Alicent and both Aemon and Aegon. So Aegon's gone. Aegon takes off. We can talk about this. So he's still the king. He's, right? Like, technically he's the king.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last season, this guy had the most shit go against him. He lost his dragon and his penis got blown right off his body.
So
half his face got burned.
Yeah. So he was impaired, Aegon took over as regent. Right? Aemon. So he took over as regent. And so he's technically the king, even with him out of town. Like, he's still acting as king.
Yeah. Aemon claims that he abdicated the throne by leaving.
By leaving.
And like
right.
disappearing. But technically, he is still the king.
So Aegon is now with Laerys, and he kind of is taken off. They get pulled over like on the side of the road. They're like, all right, bend the knee for Rhaenyra. And he's like, yeah, I'm not doing that. And then Laerys is like, hey, he's Aegon. And so now what the fuck? Like, where are they going? And as of right now, it doesn't seem like Rhaenyra or Allison have any idea where he is. The information hasn't been delivered to either party yet. So he's still technically like AWOL right now.
Yes. And didn't the guy say they're taking him to Dragonstone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're taking them to Rhaenyra because Laris was like, look, like you're going to get way more money when we're alive and you deliver us to Rhaenyra than if you just bring our heads.
Yeah.
Which is smart. Yeah. Self-preservation 100%. At
that point. Yeah. Well, Laris.
Clearly he has a plan.
Laris was smart. Yeah. What is his plan? Like who's.
Well, clearly he needs to get Aegon in front of Rhaenyra. For what reason? I don't know. But like it's one of those things where he's like, all right, cool. We're going to. Because like you don't just tell the guy that he's Aegon.
No. And Aegon also just drop to a knee. Take a quick knee. You probably move on. Live to play another day.
Fealty to Rhaenyra, whatever.
Yeah. He's like, great. She's the best. She's the best queen. And he's like, no, I'm not doing that. He's like,
she's my favorite sister queen.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So Laris, similar to our guy Varys from back in the day, kind of trying to just figure out who's going to win and then take that side. Makes sense. Alicent and Aemon had one of the more uncomfortable moments in the history of Game of Thrones. And they did a pretty good job setting it up because there was like for 5 minutes where I was looking at the screen. I was like, nope, no, don't, no. And they had them and they like panned out. It looked like they were literally like having like their wedding vows. They were like shot like that. And you're like, don't do it. And then he's like talking to his mother. And then next thing you know, he kisses her. And then she does like the eyes wide open. He's like,
well, she did it in the post show. She did like a great thing. She was like, you know, it's like he didn't know how to like show affection. Like that's the only way he knew how to do it.
He's like,
it's like that's the only thing he could think to do. And it was like the most. And she said, I wanted to make it seem like the most awkward thing in the world. And guess what? You succeeded.
It was. It's already going to be tough to top, but that's probably going to be my
what the fuck
moment of the episode.
No doubt.
One of them. Yeah.
Good grief. Yeah. There's usually no shortage of it, but
we're used to the incest, right? It's kind of common in Game of Thrones, the mother son thing though. And this kind of harkens back to what was that the season one where we see him in like the whorehouse and he's like curled up in the ball, like snuggled up next to the lady, like clearly has a lot of mommy issues.
Correct. He's got some Homelander in him.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. An extended cut of that scene could have been quite uncomfortable, even more uncomfortable than it already was. But also, I like how Allison's like, "Hey, why don't you go to Harrenhal? You should go to Harrenhal.
I'll come with you.
So fun.
It's for sure not Luigi's mansion. You need to go there. Don't spend 7 episodes there. But you head out there and you tangle it up with Daemon. That'd be a good fight. He's like, I don't know about that. And then so Rhaenyra and Jace, and now this one comes all the way back around. So Jace is trying to protect his mom and basically locks his mom into her tower, and so she can't get out to help in this giant sea battle that for sure they would have been better off if she was there. But Jace locks her in. Jace goes to go on his fight and ultimately dies.
Yeah,
so this was high stakes shit right here. We lost a pretty major character. We lost a dragon, which made me almost cry. And then we lost the kid, and I was like, fucking good. You shouldn't have been doing that. You should have been messing around like that, idiot.
And who was the little Stark Tommen?
Yeah.
Who's the one that got with the arrows? It was kind of like
Rickon.
Like that. Rickon. Oh, who got the same thing. Like you thought he was okay. And then
he got okie-doked because like the first time the dragon gets hooked, Moondancer comes down, cuts the rope, and he's good to go. Like, we're free. Everybody's okay. No big deal. And then the very end of the episode, he gets hooked. They can't cut the rope, and he just drowns. And then Jace just gets arrows to the face.
And the 3 darts is too much. I'll tell you what, the Moondancer coming in there for the save, I reacted like it was like an interception late in the fourth quarter. By like Tyler,
jump up. Let's go.
I was like the sickest thing in the world. He's like, so those two guys working together, in contrast to Sheepstealer, who is a maniac.
This you could tell someone
fucking maniac.
So hang on. So King, I want to get to King Torborn. I was going to ask you guys this question, Ashley. Do you get more upset when dogs die in movies or dragons?
Oh.
It's not as easy as a question. Do you think it is?
It might be case by case because I really felt it this episode with the dragon, and I was like sick to my stomach when he like hit the ground and or hit the water, and he wasn't going to come out, and then he drowned. And maybe it's because there's less than 20 dragons.
Yeah, that's
probably it. Feel worse about the dragons.
You know, there's so few that like each life is so unbelievably precious. And so when you see one perish, it is devastating.
And this sucks. I know how the show's going to end. I know there's going to be no dragons at the end of the show. I get that.
Yeah.
It's going to fucking kill me because there are so many good dragons even still left in the show, even after.
Oh, but this one. So Sheep Stealer, the second he turned his head, you should have known he was an idiot just for the underbite. Just like the cute, like the. Like you just knew that the thing was a dumb dumb.
Detached underneath.
He looked like, you remember that Family Guy with Bitch Stewie and like Bitch Brian?
Yes, yes.
They had like the underbite.
Yeah. Josh this in the chat thing. Actually emailed us the James William Bottom Tooth the Third. That was him. It was literally him. I go, not this fucking guy.
No, the strange wilderness with the shark. Like he's giving those vibes, and I'm like, this thing's a dummy.
Just like not a team player at all. Extremely reckless and selfish. He had no business being on the playing field. Like he wasn't Zero. Ready for prime time yet.
No,
he wasn't working well with his fellow dragons. He wasn't working well with his rider. He was just fucking blowing fire on anything that moved. And it was like, buddy, we need you to cut the shit. Also, horrible job by his dragon tamer.
She's yelling at him and he's just not responding.
He's like, dude,
I bet seriously. Dragon fire roasted goat tastes amazing.
So that's why you know he's got a little heart in there. So yeah. Sheep Stealer finally comes to the conclusion that, like, all right, Reyna is going to be his rider. And then he, like, leaves her up on this mountain and then just, like, takes off. And you're like, oh, that's not good. Like, how are you getting down from there? Then he shows up, who knows how much longer later, two goats or two sheep, and throws them on there, torches one, throws her a little leg.
Yeah. And I bet it tasted amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So it's cooked fresh. To perfection.
Nice.
Now, I've read somewhere once that I don't know if dragons are more like cats or dogs, but I've read somewhere that like if a dog brings you something like a squirrel or something, it's wants you to be proud, wants you to reward it. Like this is for you. It's a gift, right? If a cat does it, it thinks you can't feed yourself. Like it thinks so low of you that you can't feed yourself and I'm going to help you.
Oh, good point. That might be closer to Sheep Stealer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like a little.
Yeah, he has very cat energy.
Yes.
Knocking the shit off the 100%. Counter. Yeah.
Just, like, what the fuck are we doing here?
What I was honestly surprised by, I wasn't surprised because as he's going in, first of all, I was like, how would Reyna, from being so far away, even know whose ships were whose ships? But at that point, it didn't matter because Sheep Stealer had a mind of his own and he's torching everybody. She's yelling at him. He's torching everybody. And then he starts fucking around with the other dragons. And I was like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
What is this? What is this?
He's like, wild card, bitches.
But then storm the field. But then Jace and Bela, who were riding Vermax and Moondancer, they had no idea who it was at first.
No, because Jace wanted to kill her at first. And then once he got close enough, he's like, oh, wait, don't do that.
Yep. So who did they think that it was?
They just thought it was. I don't think they saw.
I think they just assumed it was somebody from the other side, from the like Aemon side,
or one of those like those nonners that we run into.
Yeah,
yeah. How much at fault is Reyna for bringing Sheep Stealer to the dance?
100%.
Yep.
Yeah. They told her it was a wild dragon. They told her like, you know, it could turn the tides, but like,
again, like just don't go to the fight. Doing? You can go fly around and like, you know, just enjoy being with your dragon. But like, I don't know, just don't go to the giant battle on the sea.
Dude, he was just like so fired up. Like he was just like, pardon the pun, but he was just like, I am in this now.
Was he having fun?
He was having the best
Probably.
Time.
Yeah, he was having a blast.
I think he had the best time out of anybody that day. Like he didn't look back and be like, guys, that was a blast.
He's like sick, it. Right? Like, no, what? Yeah.
We can do it. We lost the fucking queen's son and you took out a dragon. Oh, that was the other thing is
we need to come up with a voice for Sheep Stealer on this podcast. Like his inner monologue.
They were too good, I feel like, at shooting down dragons, and or the dragons were too awful at avoiding the big dark.
Way too good. Like it's also just like a big like harpoon. It's not like it was anything crazy.
And she wasn't like both times. You're like,
but they were like, you have to lead that. You have to know,
yeah.
Like you got to know like movement patterns. You got to like, you can't just guess.
also, as a writer, you got to know, like, that's coming. Like, yeah. That's a thing. Yeah. And you got to be ready to cut the wire. And never that's, once did Jace even like reach down to try and cut the wire.
Not only that, but
you should have like something to
like a sword. You should be able to grab like, your sword that. And cut that wire.
But yeah. I also
clearly he can't. He has wings. He doesn't have arms.
Don't you feel like that's though specifically why this fight is Jace, Bayla, and Reyna? Because if it was Daemon and Rhaenyra, they would know how close.
Yeah.
They'd avoid it. They wouldn't even have to cut it out. They just they'd give it away or like shoot the fire from a distance. And they can't.
Who did we lose? Was it Rhaenys that we lost last season? She would have known what to do.
She 100% would have known what to do.
Yeah.
She's out. So last we talked, Rhaenyra's side had way more dragons than Allison's or Aemon's side, whatever side you want, the Hightower side. But now it's starting to get a little bit closer, right? Because this side has lost at least two.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm not even sure how well the other ones even work together. They're legit wild cards. So we haven't seen all of the dragons, but we are aware that the Hightowers have more, right? Because Helaena, they've talked about her dragon. She's a big hoss of a dragon. And then Allison has another son who we haven't seen, but he's been mentioned. And he also has a dragon. Now, we don't know how big that dragon is, but...
Even still, they have what, three or four dragons max? Like,
they have four, and like literally two of them, I don't think have really even been.
Yeah, they're non-factors
out there.
They have those three other guys who are like waiting for Valerian to show up, and they think they're going to jump that hoss. Like,
yeah,
I don't think that's going
to
work.
I don't think so. So Reyna, I agree. Reyna is to blame. Sheepstealer is an absolute nut. Vermax, sadly, pick of the pod. Vermax didn't have it in him.
A little shit of a dragon too. No, I don't think it's that big of a. It's a loss, but it's
yeah.
Hey, how'd you go? As Moon Dancer's the smallest, right?
You drowned?
Yeah.
Moon Dancer way cooler.
I'm disappointed that dragons aren't better swimmers.
Yeah. Well, he's also getting
He's getting pulled down.
I guess. Anchor.
Yeah.
An anchor on him.
But also, can you really swim with wings? Like aren't they technically wyverns because they only have the 2 feet?
Yes.
Not 4 legs. So correct. They can't swim.
Yeah, but wings, it's like...
The wings are like flippers. You can just
have flippers for your arms.
I guess. I feel like they're too big.
I don't know. The dude from Shape of Water, I think, had a bunch of... Like, he looked like he had like kind of wings. I don't know. Maybe just big mitts.
I think that's when I would bail on this show if we had, like, a dragon kiss a woman. That's what I would leave.
I would rather a dragon kiss a woman than watch Alice and your son make out again. Say that much. I'll tell you though, I had a lot of respect for Bayla's ability in battle, and she had the most control of her dragon. I mean, I guess Reyna had none, and then even Jace, I feel like Bayla knew what she was doing more.
Well, yeah, Moondancer's agile is what I would say. She can Moondance is real.
Well, she was doing that like little corkscrew spinny things.
Yep, and she'd like tuck in her wings and kind of like dodge.
Circling back to Jace's decision to basically have that dude keep his mom away from the fight. What did you think of that decision?
Well, first of all, fuck that Queensguard guy. You would have been like, dude, fucking bail. Like, this is the queen. I don't like take orders from you.
All right, do you kill that guy?
If I'm Rhaenyra? Of the door.
Immediately.
As soon as I open the door.
I'd be like,
I'd do it myself.
I would do it with the dragon. I'd be like, oh, Dakaris.
No. And I would make all the other Queensguard watch.
Hmm?
Hmm?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, don't you ever lock me in my fucking room again.
Well, and I think that's kind of like Rhaenyra's big issue is she was like complaining that people are treating her like a woman. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe you need to just be more cutthroat then. Like, kill more people. And
now
show
it's on because
like,
now it's two sons down.
I think it's fucking on. Yeah.
It's now
it's not son for a son. It's sons for sons. And it's going to be, there's no more negotiating, I wouldn't think, with Rhaenyra. I think she's out for some shit. All right. We saw some good battles. Obviously, we saw, on land, we saw Daemon with some hand-to-hand combat, just beating the shit out of guys. Then this group comes out of the woods, and they have the Stark banner with them. Mm-hmm. Shine, the main guy I read is Roddy the Ruin that had the head of one of the Lannisters. What can you tell us about Roddy the Ruin?
Anything? Rich, that's a great question. I got nothing for you.
Hey, guy's a hoss. Guy's an absolute.
I know his name is Roderick Dustin. That's all I got. Okay.
Roderick Dustin. Roddy.
He's played by a guy from Glasgow. We know we love our Scots now.
Yeah.
We love Boston.
Scott. Yes.
And he's the guy. He's from Sons of Anarchy, and he was in Braveheart. The guy with like he has what the scar, the Glasgow smile.
Oh, that's cool.
Where they like cut, he's like Joker smile. It's real. Scary. Like it happened when he was like a teenager. Badass. That guy's a badass. So I'm glad he showed up and he's flying a Stark banner because these guys look like psychos.
Yeah, because and these are the guys
die for the queen. You're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, and these are the guys the Starks had promised Jace when he flew up there. They're like, yeah, we'll send guys down. And I think he said like the Winter Wolves is who they'd send down, and these guys are the nut jobs that come down and do the dirty work.
We're gonna send you a pack of real psychos.
We're gonna get these guys and Damon, and we'll throw Sheep Stealer in the mix, and we'll just let fucking chaos reign.
Like, now, did you see there was one guy who was like, they've on that battle, they were like going through the battlefield. Some guy was like cutting the head off a lion.
Yep, I saw that.
That was wild.
Literally a lion. Well, yeah, because they were killing Lannisters, but like literally the Lannisters brought some lions, which we saw last season, and he was just like going to work on the lion head.
Yeah.
That's a good trophy.
That's gonna be that, but that like what a crew we're building here. And so Damon's guys are all maniacs, so they all line up too. And then he has his dragon behind him, just fucking like sitting there with like his arms out like a bulldog. And then you're like, who's coming out of the woods? And then it's this dude who's like not even scared of the dragon. He kind of like glances at it, but he's like, oh yeah, by the way, like here's Lannister's head. I'm like, oh yes, and they're great. Shine, the Battle of the Gullet, is that what it's called? The Battle of the Gullet was the big sea battle of Valyrian squad versus the Triarchy, and this was by all accounts, this is supposed to be one of the big giant sea battles in the history of Westeros, and I thought it lived up to it. You had a lot of good seamen and sea women out there wrecking shit up, and it was good.
I think we need to mention young bastard Alan just out there fucking people up.
Yeah,
and Alan's then nice. Rips off his armor and goes back up for more and ends up killing the Triarchy lady.
Yeah. Lohar? What was her name?
Lohar.
Not
I remember that because remember that old as Lothar of the Hill People?
Yeah, Lothar of the Hill People. Yeah, that's
it. Reminded me of it. Lohar, yeah.
Because she was in the last season, right? In the finale, wasn't she the one with Lannister and they were like mud wrestling and stuff?
Yeah, because she also throws the Lannister overboard there as they're going through like the little bay trying to catch up with the sea snake.
You knew when she told him, you better not be wearing that when we start the fight. So I don't really plan on going in the water. I'm like, that guy's fucked.
Yeah.
Toast.
How much do you weigh with the armor? And then just fucking pops him over the side.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. She was tough. She was really tough.
Yeah. She can hang.
All right. So Lohar died. Jace and Vermax. And then like a million Triarchy, Valyrian fighters, Lannisters. Was there any other name characters besides Lohar, Jace, and Vermax? Because I'm assuming Corlys is okay.
Yeah, you have to assume he's alive, right?
Yes.
And you didn't see the you didn't see the Lannister guy die.
Oh, the other Lannister.
Oh, the one that got kicked overboard in the suit of armor. Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't see him die. Mm-hmm. You just saw him get pushed off the boat. Mm-hmm. But
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Shyam, you could dig into the books here if you want. Who would you say are the best seamen in the history of Game of Thrones? And where would like the Sea Snake rank? Where would Lohar rank? What about the Greyjoys? Like Euron Greyjoy, I remember by the end of Game of Thrones, they were like, this guy's fucking insane. Like the Greyjoys were good. This guy was sort of like next level. He was one of the first real pirates, I feel like, we saw in the original Game of Thrones series. But the way they hype up Sea Snake and then seeing him in action here, I feel like it's hard to top Sea Snake.
Yeah, so I think if you're gonna rank the seamen, yeah, I would say the Ironborn are probably at the top. So the Greyjoys, like at their peak, are probably number one, and then the Sea Snake though would be right behind. Like he is a force, but there's a reason his house in regular Game of Thrones no longer really exists, and the Greyjoys do. And so like I think at their height, like Theon's dad is kind of a dipshit, but like his brothers were nuts. Like they were
Yara. So was Yara ass. Was his sister, right? And she
was Theon's good. Sister. Yeah, she was good. Yeah. And then both of Theon's uncles, we met Euron the with the eye, and then his other uncle, which I don't even know that we really met in the show, but in the books is like a demon on the seas. So I would say the Greyjoys are probably number one. The Sea Snake close behind.
Yeah, I thought I've enjoyed his work thus far, and I would assume.
But Alan, man, don't talk about top seaman.
Don't sleep on Alan. I liked Alan. Alan brought a lot.
Has a very husky voice too. It was like he was yelling to everybody.
And, yeah, everybody and to be in line. To steal one of your terms, bit of a hoss too. Oh. Big dude.
Oh yeah, a lot of Hoss of the Week nominees from
that's right,
House of the Dragon. All right, my count, I could be wrong. I was trying to do the dragon count. Team Black, Rhaenyra's side, has Syrax, Rhaenyra's, Caraxes, Daemon, Moondancer with Baela. And then you have the trilogy of, like, who knows, kind of wild card. Actually, no, they have seven because I left out Sheepstealer because who the fuck knows?
Well,
knows
he's not really on anybody's side.
Sheepstealer's on his own team, so yeah, maybe I should leave him out. But then three guys that didn't really do a whole lot this episode except talk were Sea Smoke with Adam, Hugh the Hammer has Big Verm, and then Ulf, if you can get him to play by the rules, has Silverwing. So I guess they technically, even with the loss of Vermax, have seven dragons and seven riders.
And we picked up where Night of the Seven Kings. We get some good dumping in this episode too.
Yeah, it took a poop.
Ulf taking a dump.
Yeah, Ulf took a pump. Yeah, Ulf took a poop. And then for Team Hightower right now, Team Green, I think they have four. So they have Vhagar with Aemon, Aegon. Oh, actually, no, they might have three because Sunfire's dead. So I take them back. Sunfire's out the game. Dreamfire is Helaena, so she doesn't even want to ride him.
She wants nothing to do with it, yeah.
And then their youngest brother, Darren, it has Tessarion. I think we saw him in the sky like once flying around last season.
He's a little guy.
So it's 7-3?
And but Darren's not even around to ride, and Helaena doesn't want to ride. So it's really, in reality, it's 7-1.
Yeah, so even if you take Shapeshifter... Or a shapeshifter, Sheep Stealer. Even if you take him out of it, which you probably should, he should probably bench him for a few plays.
Probably.
I'm going to get you under control. Was it conduct detrimental to the team at this point?
Yeah.
You've been suspended by Team Black for 3 battles, just until you can lock your shit up a little bit.
Dennis Rodman of the team.
Yeah, like honestly, you've also been fined. You now owe everybody quite a
lot of sheep.
But the other 6, what's stopping them from just fucking going in there? And I guess this is the same shit we argued about with Game of Thrones. Like, you don't want to destroy King's Landing, right? Like, I guess
no,
some do, some don't, right? Like Aemon probably would, but like, if you want to rule it, you don't want to like light the whole thing to the ground. But if you have 6 working dragons versus 1, even as big as he is, like, I don't know, it's really
I think what's his name says it. He actually says like Aemon would actually let the place burn to the ground.
Yes, yeah.
If it meant him winning, he would let King's Landing go. He doesn't give a shit.
What do you guys think is going to happen next with Aegon and Laerys? You mentioned they're going to go to Dragonstone, but then what? Like, I feel like Rhaenyra's not really time to negotiate anymore. I feel like he might.
I think no, she's going to use him Aegon to get site, back.
Right? She might kill Aegon immediately.
Yeah.
But I think she's going to use him to get what's Allison back on, like, back in front of her again. Like, lure them out. Like, I got him. Because she's going to come. She's going to come try to save her son because she's dumb like that.
Maybe, or she might just be like, I've lost 2 sons now. I'm going to kill you, and then I'm just going to find you and fucking kill you.
Or she give him the reek treatment.
Could go that.
Torture the shit out of the kid because he's already banged up.
So. I don't know. He's already been going through it.
I don't know what more you can do to him. He's got nothing downstairs right now. No. He doesn't have really a lot going on.
No, he doesn't.
We also saw Alice.
He's melted.
The witch.
Yeah.
Oh, she was great. What a great line. She
like pops out of nowhere. I'm like, hey, what the fuck?
She goes,
what the fuck?
Like, who the fuck are you? She's like, I'm a witch. And just like carried on about her business.
And she's like, okay.
He's like, all right.
Oh, was like, that like, man pig
that was walking around up there too?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was man bear pig was walking around.
You want to know who it looked like? It looked like Baratheon from the Knights of the Seven Kingdoms. Who goes around wearing the antlers and he's just like walking around in the woods killing people.
It just looked like he had goat legs, though.
It did.
Go back and watch it.
Weird creature. It did look like a strange creature. But what's up with Alice? And so Alice, the witch, which I love having a witch. There was a witch in the first Game of Thrones run, and that was a good time. That led to some crazy stuff, like resurrections, and who knows what else she's capable of. A lot of
nakedness.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, you're actually 1,000 years old. Goddamn.
Wasn't she? I think we talked about this last time. Wasn't she also like the wolf girl from Glow? Did you ever watch Glow?
Melisandre was?
No.
Oh, this lady. Yeah, I did watch Glow. Yeah.
I think she's like the wolf girl from Glow.
But she also tells Adam, Hugh, and Ulf to go join the fight. Now, that was before Vermax died. So was that actually good advice to like get in there and go help? Or is it, do we trust her?
No, I think she did. I mean,
she did a number on Daemon.
For sure.
Like, I don't know what the fuck is up with her. I don't know what to do with that information. I was like, I guess.
I mean, I think so, because they're waiting for like this war to start, because they didn't know either. Like, well, they were waiting for this war to start. It's like, no, it already started. Like, it's going right now.
That was the other thing. It was like, what a weird strategy. They're like, let's take our 3 dragons, and you guys just wait for the 1 dragon they have to come by. Well, what if he doesn't come by?
That's what they were arguing about the whole time. And not to mention that, like, I don't even trust those 3 against that 1.
No.
It's Vhagar. It's the biggest dragon in existence right now. Like, yeah, Vhagar
would probably smash him. That's a good point. Especially Ulf. Ulf doesn't know what he's doing. Ulf would have less control over it than Baelor would. I would think.
Hugh the Hammer is the only one of the 3 that would have any chance to do damage.
Yeah.
Although, I want Ulf to run through all his nicknames. Because he's that's the guy from Afterlife.
Oh, yeah.
Who runs through all the... That's him.
Is that... Good casting.
Yeah.
All right, we got a new character. It's Allison's cousin, Ormond Hightower. And this looks like a guy who's going to be a bit of an important player. He seems to not really take any shit. He had a good line in there about... They're like, well, it's a message from, like, Aemond, or, like... But not Aegon. He's like, what's the difference? One king or the other? Like, who cares? Yeah.
What was seems the, to be a bit of a fancy boy, though. He doesn't like to have people smell. He looks like he's very...
Was the quote from his boy, though? He's like, what's the weather today? And he's like, it's raining piss and fire.
It's like piss and shit, apparently, according to this guy. He's like, if this guy's any indication, it's raining piss and shit, because I guess the guy smelled.
Yeah, he told him to go take a bath. So he'll wash up a little bit. Yeah, he's like a little bit of a, he's a little bit of a fancy boy, but you would argue like Jaime Lannister kind of was that too. So like this guy might be able to handle himself. And yeah. I also wonder, this is going to be another person that Alicent thinks might be like on her side, but for sure is not going to be on her side. That's how I view that. Like, that's so clear as day. Because she was even trying to, like, hold him back because she has this big plan with Rhaenyra, and it's, like, going up in smoke because she's like, this crew's coming in. I don't want them here, but they're fucking here already. And then I want Aemon out of here. He's also here with his dragon.
Aegon's gone. I can't hand him over.
Can't do that. Yep, he's gone. I have nothing.
The foot guy's gone, too. My foot guy.
Clubfoot.
No, but he's also a big foot guy.
He likes to...
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Rub on it a little bit. Just give it a little tug. Like that. Yeah, Ormond Hightower. Also, what is going on with Otto Hightower, Allison's dad, who last we saw was in prison? I feel like he's got to be connected to Ormond. My thought is Ormond's making a play. He sees that shit is weak here, and he's like, I'm a Hightower all the same. I'm going to come in, and I'm going to take over. That's my thought. Yeah.
Did we see who has Otto in prison? I forget.
I don't recall.
Or did we just see him in a cage?
That's what I'm
in a cage to get him taken away, but I don't remember where.
Yeah, because I believe Ormond is like currently the head of Hightower. Like,
I think he is. Yeah.
Like with Otto in King's Landing and Alicent in King's Landing and everything, he is technically in charge back at home.
Mm, okay.
And so it's Josh in the chat. Always brings up, what is going on with Kristen too? Like, what is his deal now?
Oh, yeah, he was just, like, working on a shield at one point.
Oh,
like,
fucking that's it. Kristen Cole, and then you have Gwaine, and Gwaine's like, one of our soldiers, like, did something bad to a girl, and he's just like,
fuck.
Cole's like, I don't care. I don't care about anything.
It's so weird, like, the captain, he's like, nah, whatever.
Kristen Cole is my favorite nihilist, because all last season, once he saw a dragon, he was like, we don't matter. Dragons control everything now.
I don't even want to be around.
It doesn't even matter anymore.
What's a person going to do against a dragon? Like, Kristen, fucking smile.
But also, he was like captain, like lover boy, and then he's so like jaded now. He's just so, you know, he didn't get the girl he wanted. Now he's just like a sourpuss.
He just mopes around.
Yeah.
Him and Gwaine, they're going to get fucking god at some point for sure. All right. We always do at the end of seasons or at the end of movies now, we do our podium, the three best characters. So early look at it. And obviously you can, any character count. You can use a dragon if you want.
I think we all know who number one is.
I mean, Sheepstealer.
It's Sheepstealer. It's not even close.
He might be all three spots. Sheepstealer.
Yeah, millions of people going, what are you doing? What are you doing?
Stop it. That's not how you play the game. He didn't give a shit. He dominated. He dominated the episode.
he's bringing I can't even. He's bringing some sort of energy.
He is bringing some wild energy.
And then I would give me Alan.
Yep. Ooh,
good one.
Great choice.
Alan
was awesome.
Really nice.
Mm. And then who else was a Hoss this week?
Hey, you know what? Maybe go Roddy the Ruin.
Roddy the Ruin.
Yeah.
Roddy the Ruin showing up ready to fight.
Chucking heads at people.
He you know who had energy he brought to the table was before he became a king, Robert Baratheon.
Yes. Well, that's what it like looks like. He's like trotting out from behind his crown. I'm like, why does this guy look like Robert Baratheon? And then he's like, hey, let's have some fun and kill some lions.
Like, I'm just here to kill stuff. And you're like, okay, dude.
Hell yeah. Keep doing that. Just don't kill me.
I wanted like Damon like look over his like shoulder, like shit.
Yeah,
like like somebody talked me out of this right now, and he's like, "Nope." He's like, "All right,
I feel like they just need to get organized because their side is so much more powerful than the other side. It's really not close. It's like it's oddly very lopsided.
And yet, for whatever reason, they just need to find out
what Chunky's deal is.
They've got to figure something out because they have
Chunky
the best-
being Sheepstealer.
But they have the best, we joked at the beginning of the episode about like air, land, and sea. Like they have the best fighters from each of the, like you can't, there's no way to defeat them.
Yes.
But
the one big difference is Vhagar, right? Because that dragon is so friggin' big.
Vhagar's tough. Yeah, Vhagar's tough. But that's why, like, and I don't know what happens. I haven't read the books or anything, so all my guesses are guesses. But I just, because they are so big, that leads to sort of the obvious, like, dragon massacre, where, like, he gets so damaged, but he takes down, like, three with him. You know what I mean? It's gonna have to be something like that.
And then Sheep Stealer, like, switches sides halfway through.
And fucking lights himself on fire, and then you're like,
and then like he just flies away. He's like, "What the fuck?"
Comes back with another goat.
Jesus H. That'd be a great retcon later. Is like Sheep Stealer actually was alive the whole time. Like he was alive in throughout Game of Thrones. He just went took off,
hanging in the mountains, eating goats.
He's been alive the whole time.
Just he super old. Somehow he has an eye patch now.
Yeah,
but he did it to himself.
Yeah. He never fixed
poked his own eye out.
Yes. Talking about me. Yeah, Sheep Stealer. We're talking about you. Of course we're talking about you. You ruined everything. All right. Who's
like
the next? Who's the next consequential character to die? I wonder if we just jump right into Aegon. Aegon might be my pick.
Well, this is always the hardest part about the show because they don't give it. There's no. No one cares.
Anybody. Could be anybody. Yep. It could for sure be anybody.
I want to say Kristen, but I know he'll stay to the end because he's the one who wants to die and just can't.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. He's going to drag this out.
Just please. He's like asking people to kill him. And then
I don't want to do this anymore. Josh Chat's going with Allison.
Give me Helena.
That'd be a big one. Ooh, I wanted to ask you guys about Helena. I don't think she dies next. I think we have to see her on the dragon. I think we have to eventually see her on the dragon. And she's one of these, I don't know what, like the Sivan word is. Yeah. Yes. Which one of Egg's brothers was in Night of the Seven Kingdoms. Remember the guy at the bar?
A like, warg.
Not, I don't even know if it's a warg as much as like.
No, it's a Targaryen thing where you have visions of the future. Like you see, like you're almost clairvoyant at times. Yeah. Like, cause Daenerys has it too.
So Daenerys has it, but I think Helena has it. So I think we're going to see that power used a few more times. I'm actually really intrigued by her character. And I remember the last season, remember when we talked about this, I think, on the season finale recap, when like Daemon said something to her, remember? And he was just like, it's like, or I could just like kill, or no, Aemon. Aemon's like, or I could just like kill you. And she's like, it wouldn't matter. You're like, no.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I just wrote a scene in my head wherein Sir Criston is like got his sword like John. He takes his sword out like Jon Snow, and he's standing right in front of Sheep Stealer, and he's like takes like this big and just barfs up like a bear yeah. for him to have, and he's like fucking A.
I picture him pulling out the sword, seeing the dragon, throwing the sword aside, and then just like looking like Scott Stapp in
yeah, and he just pukes up like just a like, cow, like I'm like fuck,
take me away.
He has a little cloud over him everywhere he goes, just raining on him.
Little fucking Eeyore.
God, that's sad.
And sorry, I'm still around.
My pick is Aegon. Sean, what was your pick? Next death?
For the next consequential death?
Yes, next consequential
death. I will go with... Give me Daemon.
Oof. That'd be big. Oh,
this is.
I don't know if the Darkest Storm Knights in the chat.
Yeah, that was my well, yeah, Queensguard guy is not making it 5 minutes in this episode.
No, good call. That one, I don't even know his name, but he's gone.
Yeah, he will not make it.
The door opens. He's toast. Yeah,
he will not make it past the credits.
I'm also looking forward to Rhaenyra's interaction with Rhaena, or vice versa, like Rhaena, like she's
or Aunt Bela.
Yeah, they're both gonna be like yikes. Big yikes.
Yeah.
I don't know. The show's fantastic. I'm excited to see where we're at. Anything else we missed on this episode? Anything other questions, comments?
Alan gets a name. They're gonna give him his name.
Oh, that'd be good. Mm-hmm. I like Alan. Alan, mm-hmm. Alan and Adam.
He earned it. Yeah. He earned it in this one. I think the sea snake is gonna cave a little bit more.
You good.
Give him a name.
Wow, they fucking burned Corlys's trophy room. You know. He lost all his, they're like, that was like that place that was like to distract him. It was like all his like awards. That's where he keeps his gold gloves and his Cy Youngs.
That's
like,
right.
Now it's gone.
Just toast.
That's a shame. All right. You guys can let us know what you thought of House of the Dragon season 3 premiere at Dork Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Next week, no live podcast actually next week. So 2 weeks from tonight, we will do episode 2 and 3 at the same time. Hell, so yeah. We'll have two action-packed episodes. So Shyam, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you
in, always a pleasure.
2 weeks.
My pleasure, boys.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply. Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
For 2026, Toyota is the best resale value brand according to Kelley Blue Book. With the Tacoma, Tundra, and 4Runner named the top three for resale value above all vehicles by KBB. And with special financing available at your local Toyota dealer, you can enjoy affordability today, while great resale value can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Baseball is back, and BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boost, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boosts, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
All right, Davey, I will talk to you in a moment. If you're watching live on YouTube right now, jump over to the other link. Davey and I are going to talk about another really good TV show, Widow's Bay. So
you in on this, Shyam? You seen this yet?
I have not seen this. Where can I see this?
Apple.
All right.
It's a good show. 10 episodes, they're like a half hour. So you can
remember. Oh, that's right up my alley.
Now you're talking.
Talking my language. Yeah. Really good.
All right, everybody. In the meantime, stay hard and stay curious.
The Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Lately, I've been wanting my makeup routine to feel lighter and more intentional. I still want my skin to look even and glowy, but I don't want to feel like I'm wearing heavy foundation every day. Primally Pure's new Sun Serum Tinted SPF has become my everyday go-to because it feels like skincare first. It gives mineral SPF 30 protection, evens everything out, and leaves the prettiest healthy skin finish. Then, I use their lip and cheek tint for a quick flush of color. It's nourishing, multi-purpose, and makes getting ready feel really effortless. I love that both formulas are made without synthetic fragrance, PFAs, or chemical sunscreen filters. Just really thoughtful ingredients that support healthy skin. If you've been wanting a more simplified, skin-first makeup routine for summer, definitely check out Primally Pure's new tinted SPF collection.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.